Hi, my name is Aaron Burke, and I have the privilege to serve as one of the pastors at Faith Church. I also have the privilege to serve as one of the counselors for Faith Biblical Counseling Ministry, and I'm thankful to especially discuss together biblical evaluation of personality tests today. I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you because you're like no other. You're worthy of praise and glory. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he is our high priest. We thank you he's holy and innocent and undefiled and separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, and he has the power to help us draw near to you. Father, we ask especially for wisdom today, wisdom through your word and by your spirit to discern and consider how we should think and counsel others regarding the role of personality tests. Father, we pray that you would help us to become more like Christ. We pray that our interests and our focus would be on bringing Christ glory and pleasing you, Father. We confess that many times we are tempted to look toward ourselves first and not toward the interests of others or doing what's right ultimately in your eyes rather than in our own. And so, Father, forgive us and help us, Lord, that through faith in Christ we can be forgiven, we can be reconciled to you and saved from the wrath to come. And help us today, we pray, especially, Lord, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So let's start just considering, why is personality types especially popular? Personality tests, they're not new, but they are incredibly popular in our culture. For example, we see all different types of personality tests being used. We have DISC tests and 365 or Myers-Briggs, Enneagram. There's lots of personality tests that we see used commonly in our culture and our world today, and they're quite popular. Some of the ways that I commonly observe them as a pastor, especially often, is in premarriage counseling or marriage counseling in the context of individuals considering the compatibility between a future spouse, or also in marriage counseling where somebody is wanting to learn more about themselves or their spouse so that they can grow and change and better serve or love them. Many times we also see them just for personal growth and self-awareness. Job interviews often will use them, especially to gather information quickly about a candidate that you may not know well, to learn some general things about their behavior or desires or patterns in social interactions. Also, we sometimes see them used as missionary candidate assessments. So these many times are required in that realm as well. I serve as the pastor of Global Missions here at Faith Church, and many times I have questions about what role do these have, especially in missionary candidate assessments, as well as with pastoral candidate assessments or church planting profiles that are often done. Many times we'll see these used in those contexts as well. Just now, in many general business interviews and HR practices incorporate these as well in a variety of settings. And so they're common in our world today. They're very popular. And so the next question I think that for us to consider is why? Why are personality tests so popular? What attracts us to them? What value do we see that they provide that causes us to gravitate toward them? And I think we've seen, for example, one like the Enneagram, which I'm going to focus on today, becoming all the more popular. I've observed from marriage counseling, working with missionaries in their assessments, as well as I serve a lot with international students at Purdue University. And so often these personality tests are required in their courses for a job placement, for interviews, or for evaluating career opportunities that they would have. And there are some common answers and motivations that often surface. One is, if I really know who I am, then I can change myself to be whether who I want to be, whether it's how I want my spouse to perceive me and to be desirable. It could be I can be then the person that my employer desires and will accept, or my friends will desire and accept. So I think that could be a common motivation of what motivates us to do these. Many times we have the view that if we have special knowledge about myself, that I can better control my life. I can know the future. I can know whether or not I'll be blessed and successful if I can achieve a certain personality type that is popular or desirable in our world. Also, there's a desire about what this teaches me about you. So if I know you, I can control in some ways how I choose to respond around you. And that can be in a positive sense of I can especially be thinking of ways that I might better serve you or look at you or perceive you and understand you. But also sometimes it can be used in the knowledge of avoiding or especially knowing how to respond when especially our personalities may clash in a conflict. Also, if I have knowledge, I can categorize myself or I can categorize you. And there is something desirable, I think, of a label or a quick way to categorize someone that somehow gives me context and explanation for how do I interpret and process some of the details about somebody. And if I take this personality test, even some view it for spiritual insight. Why am I here? How has God made me? Why am I this way? And so there's many times where people are looking for a personality test to reveal that type of knowledge or information to them. And these desires and motivations and expectations are important because they begin to explain, I think, why these are so popular in our world. They seek to promise a quick and easy solution to satisfy many of these common desires. And what's great is God wants us to understand why he made us. God wants us to understand especially who we are as people, how we glorify him, how we live to please him. He wants us to understand our purpose in life. And unfortunately, at times, though, it's the biblical worldview that's going to clash with the worldview that's presented by many of these personality types. And that's what we'll spend some time in our lecture today going through. Now, personality tests and some of the underlying motivations, these are not new. These have been around for a while, and so it's helpful, I think, to think through some of the origins for personality typology. And again, as we're going to see that even the language of what a personality is going to be defined differently by different groups and people. But some of the first recorded instances of typology for personality were in the area of astrology, oftentimes with the Babylonians then influenced things like the Chinese zodiac and Claudius Ptolemy, which is the horoscopic astrology. And so we might be familiar with especially astrological means for typology. And these typologies seek to typically explain the personalities of human beings being tied to stars or to solar or lunar calendars. And so if you're born on a certain day or in a certain month or in a certain year, there are certain traits then that you have, your attitudes, desires, or characteristics that you'll exhibit. But then outside of astrological or celestial sources for defining personality that have happened in the past, you have folks like Hippocrates. And so Hippocrates, for example, in 460, 370 BC, wanted to especially talk about the source of personality being not tied to these celestial things or solar or lunar, but instead related to especially the source being biological or physiological in man, so the material man, so the four temperaments coming from and being related to what he called the four humors, black bile and yellow bile and phlegm and blood. But then more recently, we have personality tests developed by modern psychologists, for example, like Carl Jung, who's more recent. Many of these, we've seen the three pairs of functions of extroverted and introverted, sensitive, intuitive, thinking, feeling. And so these three pairs are often grouped together, and there's eight possible types for personality. And then you have the influential Isobel Briggs-Myers test, who was influenced greatly by Jung. Many of us have probably asked at some point to take that for a job interview or for career planning purposes. These were incredibly popular and still are used by many today. And again, Myers-Briggs was influenced by Jung, but they added another pair, judging, perceiving, making 16 possible personality types. And then there's the more recent as well, Enneagram, which is, I think, gaining a little more influence today. And so I want to take a little time to especially talk about the origins of the Enneagram as a personality type because of its popularity that's becoming more and more influential today. And so many of us have probably interacted maybe with somebody who has taken or personally taken the Enneagram yourself. And I think it's helpful to know a little bit about the background of this typology for us to think through it from a biblical perspective. First is when we consider the origins of the Enneagram, it does not have Christian origins. All of that has been disputed, and they're unsubstantiated and inaccurate claims. often the claims and the use of being a Christian origin source relate to Evagrius Ponticus, who's known for describing the seven deadly sins, but he never mentions about the